And welcome everyone to the May Howard Council meeting. And before we begin, we'll just have Jen give the land acknowledgement.
As we gather together here at Howard Junior Public School, we acknowledge the sacred land on which Howard operates. It has been a site of human activity for 15,000 years. This land is the territory of the Huron-Wendat and Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River. The territory was the subject of the District One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, an agreement between the Iroquois Confederacy and Confederacy of the Ojibwe and allied nations to peaceably share and care for the resources around the Great Lakes. Today, the meeting place of Toronto is still the home to many Indigenous peoples from across Turtle Island, and we are grateful to have the opportunity to work in the community on this territory.
Thanks, Jen. First, I will do a motion to approve last month's meeting minutes. Somebody, yeah, Jen, okay, and second? Samantha, okay, great. So last month's meeting minutes, otherwise known as the recording of the video, is approved from last month. And we will just have Esme give the principal's update now.
Good, okay. So it's actually good we're having another meeting in June because I might even have an update of the update I'm giving you tonight, but I'm just gonna remind everybody of the graduation date, and then I'm gonna talk a little bit about our classes and our organization for next year. So just a reminder that Wednesday, June 23rd at 2 p.m. is our graduation. So what's gonna happen, it's going to be the same as last year. We're gonna do a video release for the kids and with their family, and whoever they would like to have view it with them. But we're gonna release it at 2 p.m. so we're all having a viewing party at the same time. And then when it's over, each of the classes, so Mr. Ganley, Madame Demianu, and Mr. Wolf is gonna have an after party for the kids. So it's really just sort of a chit-chat virtual, but it was really positive last year and the kids really enjoyed having some time because they were excited, enthusiastic to really just talk about it. I know I've heard that there are signs up on the lawns out there. So that is super. And that is, I can't take credit for that. That is all Leslie Nicholson and her team. So that is awesome. And at the beginning of June, I have a proper invitation that I will send out to all the grade 6 families. And that includes... the virtual students, as well as the people that are in person, even though we're kind of all remote right now. So we'll make sure we remember them. And then what we did last time, we kind of piggybacked on the school council and the graduation committee. So last year, the graduation committee, we're not allowed to do it, but last year the graduation committee organized that get together in Sororin Park. So they would have a clap out and parents and families got together at Sororin Park. And so did Susie and I and Nancy and Anna, who was our halftime secretary at the time. So we had t-shirts for the kids and we had the certificates for the kids and anybody that won an award we had for them. So we weren't allowed to organize it, but we were super excited that somebody else organized it. And we weren't supposed to go, but we went. And the secretary's like, nobody minded, nobody felt unsafe. And so we're hoping that we'll be able to do something like that again for the kids, because I think it's nice on that day or on that week to get your certificate and not to have to wait. And because the thing is that's when we're wrapping it up. Kids don't really... like by the time September comes, they're super excited about being at their new school. And it's almost like surprisingly like, oh yeah, that was then. So we really want to get them their certificates and their awards and a t-shirt for them that week. So we're working on all of that, but it's all under control and it's going to be good. So the next thing I'll just share a little bit about, we talked about it last month, and it's about the organization of the classes. So what I can share with you this evening is the organization. So basically, you know, on English, we have 7 classes, and on French immersion, we have 10. So we're still a little bit heavier on French immersion, but 7 and 10 is great. So what we have, on the English track looks similar to this year, with the change that we don't have a triple. So we have two just junior kindergartens and one family grouping, which is what they call a combined JKSK class. We have a grade 1-2. We have a grade 2-3, a grade 3-4, and a 5-6. So on the English side, everything we have is combined, but you can tell, you can see that we don't have a triple like we did this year for 4-5-6. And our numbers look really healthy, so that in each of those classes, nothing looks so small that, like when we started this year and we had that grade 4, it had 11 kids in it. So that's why they closed it and were bumping those kids into the 5-6. But we don't have anything here right now that could sort of threaten that, so to speak. It looks like that's going to be healthy. We've got good numbers there. So the other thing then I would say is having a small group, it's like having a small school in a big school. It's like we have a small English school in a big school, and we have all combined classes. So when we're placing the students, what I always try to do is, knowing that on a small track like that, everybody who goes to our school from junior kindergarten to grade 6 for those 8 years, we know that they're going to have a combined grade at any point. Like, they're going to have one by the time they graduate from us. If they stay with us all those 8 years, we know on the English side, they're going to have a combined class. So whenever we have the opportunity to build a straight class, we always do. So the staff, guides me. They give their ideas. They give their preferences. We look at who the individual children are. But when we're building it, one of my first priorities is always to see if we can find a way that we can make a straight class, and then try to give everybody an opportunity at some point in those 8 years to be in a straight class, because there's benefits to both, but there's definitely benefits to being in a straight class. So I try to make it that everybody has some opportunity to be in one. So on the French immersion side, we have one senior kindergarten. So it's going back to the model where we have 29 students in a senior kindergarten class. Grade 1, so a straight grade 1, a grade 1-2 combined, a straight grade 2, a straight grade 3, a second straight grade 3, like this year we have two straight grade 3s, a straight grade 4, a 4-5, a 5-6, and a straight 6. So you can see that on the French side, we have far more straight classes. So the more teachers the school is assigned allows us more opportunities to build in different ways. And so we had a few options. We really had one option for English, because the numbers, the projected numbers of the kids, dictate what we can do. So for example, they're estimating that we're only going to have 16 grade 1 English students next year, but I can't make a 16 class. I have to build it up to 20 in order to be able to get all the kids in, given the numbers the teacher gives the board, a number of teachers the board has given me. So, but with French having 10 teachers between primary and junior, we had more choices. And so when we pick those, I look at them with the staff as a staffing committee, but that's the information that we then took to Tara Lynn and to Kathy, so that we were talking about last month. That's why I meet with them, to share with them all the raw data, so to speak, and then give them a picture of all the different options, and they help me to pick the best option. I think we've always been in sync in terms of school council and myself wanting to have as many straight classes as possible. So sometimes, believe it or not, I have teachers that, I get it, they want to build all combined classes. So everybody's in a combined class. And as teachers, you can have two teachers, both teaching grade 2-3, and then they could work together and they could plan together, they could deliver together. So see how there's lots of benefits to it, but it's never been something I've been comfortable with to just make combined classes for the sake of making combined classes or at the expense of a straight class. So that's what it looks like. And I know that's a lot of information considering you're not looking at what I'm looking at. When we have our prep, we're going to continue with the specialist music teacher, specialist phys ed teacher, and some classes will have a specialist drama dance teacher. So not all, but some of them will. So that's what it looks like. So what happens is we build that. We consult with the staff, we consult with school council, the board superintendent, she approves it. And then now we're at the point where we're putting students in each class. So if I know that I have a straight grade one and a grade 1-2 in French immersion, the teachers from kindergarten, senior kindergarten meet with us and we talk about strengths and needs of the students, who's friends with who might do better academically and focus better if they're separated, having a balance of male, female, and then making sure that we also have a nice balance of high, medium, and low. And so that it's just a very diverse class. And then what we're doing, so we're placing, say, the grade ones, and then I meet with the grade one teachers, and they are then saying, okay, well, which kids, students would be really good to be productive and work in and match the teaching style of the 1-2 teacher, of the dynamics in there, the students in there, and then who should be, you know, in a grade 2 class or a grade 2-3 class. So we're doing that this week. It takes us about 2 weeks. So what I would normally do is I would bring in occasional teachers and I would release the teachers to come and work with me so it's during their school hours. But they've been really good at meeting with Susie and I at lunchtime and after school. So they're quite tired, but they've been very good. And we're using a Jamboard and we have all sorts of different ways to work at it and record it and make sure we're having still as rich discussions as we normally do when we're in the building. And then the other part is once the kids are placed and they're placed on everybody who's in the building and virtual. So all the virtual students who went and are sitting in a virtual class right now, I have their names because of course they're Howard students and I'm placing them in a bricks and mortar in school class for next year. My normal practice has always been to give parents their teacher and their student placement, so teacher class, in June, because I feel like, in my experience, when people wait all the way until September, because a lot of schools release all that information in September, in my experience, people get really stressed all summer. And instead of spending the summer thinking, wow, I love Howard, it's such a great school, you know, where I'm in the schoolyard, I'm going to be here next year, and they're calm and they're comfortable, they're so worried. And some of the little kids, you know, they can get so worried and it can overtake sort of the pleasure of the summer. So I always try to give as much information as June. But this year, I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be able to do that. So I apologize straight up. And the reason is, so last Friday, when I sent the message to everybody, I said to parents, you're going to get an email on Monday because the information changes as fast as I can get it out. But I gave all the parents an email on Friday saying you're going to receive information from the board on Monday, saying you're getting a survey to tell us your intentions for September. Would you like to be in school or virtual? And then I believe that you all actually, in fact, got an email from the board that said, we're not doing it at this time and we're going to do it at a later date. So the information I have right now is that my job, which we're doing, is to take everybody who is Howard, Howard student. Everybody who has Howard as a homeschool, whether they're virtual, whether they're, you know, doing virtual, or they're in a pod, or they're, you know, in another country, or they're whatever their situation is, they're Howard. And so I'm placing them. So let's say they chose to go to private school this year, but we know they're coming back. I'm placing them. So then we have all of this information by the end of June. What the board is going to do is on August 16th, so it could change, but August 16th, they are now going to send all parents information. Like it's not a survey. It's, hang on. Oh, sorry. My neighbor asking me to walk the dog. Sorry, I hope my information is worth the disruption. That's my neighbor asking if I want to go for a walk with the dogs. Okay, so but back to this. So basically what happens is August 16th, every parent's going to get a registration form. And they feel like August 16th allows families to know what the situation is with COVID, what the situation is with vaccines, and how herd immunity is going. So really, I think they're right. If you were asked to make a commitment and register to one of those two programs now, that would be really hard because we have no idea. Things could change in 3 months. So August 16th, they'll send you out what is like a registration form, and families fill it out saying we're committing to virtual school or we're committing to bricks and mortar. And then I get the information, the data, the results, August 30th. And then on August 30th, what happens is Susie and I will review it and we'll see whether we need to actually reorganize. So maybe we lose a teacher because so many kids leave. Maybe we have to create new classes. Maybe we just have to tweak a few students and move them. So if we need to reorganize, then the whole process starts again. I'll reach out to Kathy, I'll reach out to Tara Lynn, and we do the whole process again of consultation. And if it's just tweaking, then I'll definitely let them know, but we just sort of do the tweaking of kids on our own. And then we will get all the information out for where students are being placed. So given that the board is very, very different across the system. So we're Learning Center 4. And the information I have for Learning Center 4 is that it's very low numbers going to virtual school. It's really only been across the whole LC4. So Learning Center 4 is about 15%. The amount of kids going to virtual school from, I think they said Learning Center 1 and Learning Center 3 is as high as 60%. So those schools, just like us, they're being built on, you know, all 500 kids returning. And then if they get the data that says 60% of your kids are going back to virtual school, then they're going to lose a lot of teachers and have to start the reorganization all over. I expect if 15% of our kids went to virtual school, we wouldn't have to reorganize. We would be tweaking. So basically what happens is unless they change that process, I don't think, I'm only 90% sure because I'm so used to giving people's placements out in September that I can't quite get my head around not doing it. But at the same time, there's such a high probability right now that it's going to change. So that's just something sort of to keep in mind as we go through the process. So that's a lot of information. The other thing is just to note, the first day of school, at this point is Thursday, September 9th for students. So they're planning on doing the same thing, having a number of PD days before Labor Day and between Labor Day and the first day of school. They have got the school year calendar. I believe it's being approved right now by the ministry. And then once it's approved, I can send it out. So, but that's interesting to know because that's kind of a late start date, but it's Thursday, September 9th for students. And it could change, but I don't think they expect it to. They really have a lot more information and know really what they need to do ahead of time this year. So I think they're probably pretty accurate. So any questions about that? That's a lot of information.
Yes. I have some questions.
Yes, good.
The SK class of 29, will they get a teaching assistant?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And why do some kids get drama dance and not all of them?
Because we don't have enough. It works on the minutes and it works on the amount of we have more minutes than we need for just music and phys ed. So everybody will get the same amount of prep minutes, but some people will have it divided by the three subjects and some just by the two.
So does every kid get music and every kid get phys ed?
Yes, by a specialist. Everybody gets drama dance. Some will be by their homeroom teacher and some will be by a specialist. Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, ask me questions in case I miss some of the details.
No, that's good.
And I really am pleased because I don't think we would have a triple. My worry was once they started assigning them and giving them a name, and Kathy and I have talked about this, that it becomes a thing and then it just kind of becomes the norm. So I don't think it will, to be honest. And I don't think that will be our situation. So I'm happy.
So Terry Lynn.
Hi, yes. I was just going to ask you, Kathy, if you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I was going to share people. Okay.
Last week, I had the opportunity to do a Zoom call with Robin Pilkey, just to talk to her a little bit about what Kathy had raised the alarm about last meeting, and that we are seeing some declining numbers that could be concerning for Howard in terms of enrollment. And so Kathy, you know so much more about this. She keeps amazing records of all of the numbers over the years, and she's got her percentages and her numbers down. So Kathy, you
okay. I did send Robin Pilkey a note based on our concerns, but I said, you know, don't worry, we're not stressed. We'll meet you in September when, you know, you have things on your mind. She says, no, we can meet now. So Terry and I both said, okay. So we had a nice talk. I think, Terilyn, you could probably agree with me that she knew a number of issues that we were facing, but she also didn't know other things. So there was a good exchange there, right? She says the board is not worried about Howard. That was one of her phrases. She said that she's aware that they've only scheduled the Ronsey to have 7 kids. That's their sort of guesstimate. But they're guesstimating 270 kids from the Loblaws redevelopment. So their struggle is, if they, Terry Lynn asked, can you move the borders, boundaries, and let some more kids in? They said, well, if you do that, then when the 270 arrive, now what do you do? And I said, and so she talked a lot about when she thought the Loblaws would happen. And, you know, they say 5 years, maybe 10, I think 8. And she was bouncing these times back and forth, which is very nice of her. But I made a point that the parent of a kindergarten kid today is really not concerned with the 270 that are coming 8 years from now, because they'll be gone and they'll have had to experience a declining school for all this time. So she did agree that that did make a good point. And what I pointed out, that if it declined much more, we would lose our vice principal. I don't think she was thinking about that.
But she did agree.
Yeah. And so she made a note and she said, well, Garden doesn't have a vice principal. And Annette doesn't have a vice principal, and Runnymede doesn't. Did she say Runnymede doesn't have a vice principal? Anyway, she went down the list.
Yeah.
And said, these people don't. But I said, well, that changes lots of things for us, right? She said that, and she did highlight that the board is down a number of kids, 2,500 kindergarten kids across the TDSB, which could be a number of factors. One could be immigration. Another could be movement of any kind, housing prices, public school, going to private school, homeschooling. I mean, it's all kinds of reasons, right? Now, she did talk about the fact that, according to her, the board is not worried because we are at a good level. And I said, well, what's a good level? Well, a good level is 85% of your building is full. And she said, that's what the board wants, because then that allows you to have music rooms and special ed rooms and things like that. The board thinks we were at 75%. That's what the board thinks. Well, I did the calculation and I think we're at 68% and declining.
You brought up we're staffed at 68%. However, our students are at 75% capacity. They say that our school is 577 kids is maximum capacity, and mm-hmm. that 85% capacity is the ideal. So they're seeing 75%.
Yeah, I don't think we are. Well, if the staff is at 68, how can they say we're at 75?
Kathy, I trust you more than TSB.
Okay. But that's the dialogue that I wanted to put on the table. She took notes and she went away. So, you know, in September when we have the reorg, take that back. Don't say that. In September, when we look at the staffing again, then I'm going to bring that up to her. What percent are we really at, right? Now, what was the other thing?
Because Sarah, Tweedy, you've raised your hand. Sarah, did you have something you wanted to bring up?
I had just a point of clarification. Do we have a full-time VP position right now? Is Susie full-time?
No.
She's half-time, right?
No. She's full-time in the building.
Yes.
Esme, can correct me, but she does another job, which is the special ed component.
Okay. Yeah. If you don't mind. I listened to, hi everybody. If I haven't met you before, I see some familiar faces, including you, Kathy. I just really wanted to raise one particular point. And I listened, I wasn't able to attend last month's meeting, but I did try to put my hand down, but I did listen to the recording, and I agreed with a lot of what was said, but the one thing that I did struggle with somewhat was I felt there was a connection being made between declining enrollment at Howard and the decision cap French immersion. And I strongly disagree with that. I think enrollment has been declining at Howard for years. And I don't think it's that simple, like a cause and effect. And I really think that as a community, what we need to do is rally behind the English program and build it. And that's really my two cents. That's what I wanted to add here tonight. I think it's really important that be the community's goal moving forward.
Well, Sarah, you're in luck because tonight that is a major line item in our discussion after this. It's definitely been on council's mind and brainstorming what we can do to change some of those dynamics. So
great.
We'll be able to have you weigh in again in just a moment.
Okay. All right. The last piece I wanted to share with you is that Keele Public School seems to get, I think they're growing bigger, right? And they seem to get in September, despite their best planning, like 40 more kids arrive. So there seems to be a fair bit of pressure right now on Keele Public School, which is why Terry Lynn asked, well, you know, can you change the boundaries a bit? Because sometimes there's some kids that live really close to Howard that are Keele kids, right? She took a note, but those kinds of decisions take quite a long time. And this is another reason why we wanted to say it now, because I don't think it's going to happen for this year, but maybe next year, if things have changed drastically, maybe that's another thing we bring back. And those kids, of course, would come into the English program. They wouldn't go into the French program.
Well, one of the things that's actually interesting about what you say is that I believe in my first year at Howard, the French immersion children from Kiel, depending on where they lived, some went to one school and some came to us. And so then the next year they were all rerouted to another school. So I don't think that was very many kids, but there are children that were, Indian Road. Indian Road, we took their French immersion kids and we don't anymore.
Okay. That could be it then.
I mean, it probably only counts for a handful, but when you mentioned that, I realized,
Okay. So anyway, I think Robin knows that we're watching and paying attention. And she, I did talk a little bit about what impacts a school if teachers are transferred in. There's a difference between the principal getting to choose a teacher that fills a need in the school versus a teacher being transferred in. And I said, if you've got an English program with seven teachers, that's all you have. If one of those English teachers were to leave and the board were to transfer somebody in, that one teacher that gets transferred in has a huge impact on the culture of, and if we're trying to work on improving the culture of that English program, that's really hard unless they transfer in a dynamo, right? And so that's an issue that I'm going to be taking up with the superintendent, that issue there about the impact on transferring people in at this time. And also, I think I also raised the issue that when you're trying to improve a program, you also try to improve the teachers. And we as a parent council don't have a lot of say in teacher performance or teacher improvement or teacher education or teacher supports, but we could still raise the issue as if you see issues in the English stream that you know about because Esme knows about them and the superintendent knows about them. If you see them, then, and we're struggling with the program, then step up and do something. Put some supports in the school, put some supports for that teacher. Do it all discreetly, professionally, but don't ignore it if you know there's an issue. So I will be bringing that up with the superintendent just to give her a little oomph in that direction.
That's great. Thanks, Kathy. Just so everyone knows, like if anybody's got questions they want to ask about this and elaborate on our English track conversation, that will be happening in just a second. But Esme, was there anything else in your principal's update that you would like to add before we moved on?
No, not at this point, no.
Well, thank you, Esme, again. And thank you, Kathy.
What's the superintendent's name again?
Esme? Debbie Bonsky.
Oh, right. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
She was new this year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Leslie is going to be speaking on behalf of council here about championing Howard's English program and what we can do proactively to support the English program and kind of help with some perceptions about it and other issues that might have been arisen. Leslie, I'll let you have the floor here.
Okay, hot button issue. So we've discussed as exact and I've discussed with people in the community that it seems to have a reputation issue. And I agree it's not the only reason why we're losing kids, but it is an issue that seems to, like I've talked to many parents, that it seems to have a bad reputation, which is unfair. And the people that I know in the program, my kids are in French, so but the people that I know have said many positive things. And I think we need to champion that and get people. So what we've decided or what we're hoping to do, is to put together a council, somebody, a committee, and that will find a way to be able to create positivity around the program instead of just like, oh, well, you know, like it's, as far as I know, it's a great program. And I don't know, you know, all I've heard is reputationally is like somebody said this, but the people that I know in it are having positive experiences for the most part. And so what we would like to do is to put together a committee, and I'm putting it out here is finding parents that are interested in being part of that committee, specifically somebody to head the committee. Again, my kids are in French, so I wouldn't be doing that, but I just putting it out there that we would like to do that. And so I know some of the JK parents this year going on the Facebook feed are quite passionate, getting in touch with those people. And if there's somebody out there, like Mandy, maybe you know somebody who would be willing to put together a group, because I know there's definitely that there's Jennifer that are willing to lead it and to put those people together, so we can get like a PSA from Miss Casey, who everybody adores that I know of. You know, I don't know a lot of the other teachers, but and why they put their kids in there, and also giving people like, so the people coming into JK next year, just telling them like that we're a dual track school, you know, and we want the best program for everyone. So, okay, Jennifer.
So I came to this meeting to suggest that we put together an English committee for the English program. I didn't even know if there was one, because I only ever eavesdrop in the council meetings when I get a chance, when I'm doing dishes, you know? So that was my idea. I've been in touch. My daughter just transferred to the English stream in January. So I've had the experience of the French immersion program, and now I'm starting to experience the English program. I've had an opportunity to speak with a bunch of English stream parents, including Jessica, who is on this call. And I just spoke to her this evening about a possible English committee and bouncing some ideas around about what that would look like. And I totally agree with you. I'd be interested in being on the committee. I don't know if I would chair it, but I would definitely be interested in being on it.
Well, and that's where I think right now we're at, is talking to you, talking to other people, and finding that person that would be willing to chair it. I don't have those contacts, so I know you, but I don't necessarily, and there's a couple other people. It's finding that one person that's willing to take that on, because I know there's a lot of parents that are definitely interested, like, but I don't know if anybody has the bandwidth right now to head it. And that's where finding out that group of people, and maybe there is that person, or hopefully there is that person, and that's bringing it up now so that we can get that going.
I unmuted myself because I could provide some support in terms of marketing and communications and PR. If the committee came together and, you know, we just wanted to coordinate it that way, I could be a support. My kids in French.
Yeah. And so keep in mind too, like some of the committees that we have, like think about outdoor learning. They did an insane amount of work and did all of this stuff at the beginning. There wasn't just one person sharing. There was obviously a couple very dedicated individuals who did a lot of work. Then they got the ball rolling and had the vision. But I don't necessarily think that this requires one single person kind of heading this on and leading the charge. It can be a collaborative.
Oh, for sure. It's just that one person that's willing to do that organization. Yeah.
I'll keep talking about it, but I think that there's a moment here. I think because of COVID and the disruption that has caused to a lot of children's learning, especially in French, I think there is a real moment here to inform parents and inform the community that it is a dual track school, and try to really promote the benefits of learning in your first language, for example, or learning in English first, not at the expense of French immersion, because there's great things about that too. I'm a product of French immersion. It just isn't working for my daughter, but there are a lot of really great things that happen in English learning, especially at, you know, I'll take the second grade level, right? My daughter switched in second grade. I went from 1 week witnessing what was going on in the French immersion class to witnessing what was going on in the English class. And what I witnessed was a much greater depth of learning happening, because they were getting into topics and concepts that simply aren't possible in French immersion, because there's still a limited vocabulary. So there are a lot of benefits to doing English learning. So really trying to like sit down, brainstorm, and frame like the benefits of English, not at the expense of French immersion, because there's a lot of great things about that too. But at the end of the day, one program doesn't fit all. And it would be a really great idea. And Jessica brought this up, and not to take the wind out of her sails, but she brought this up at a previous council meeting, that there's no information for parents when they're making the decision if they want to try to get their kid into French immersion. So they think there's only one choice. And if you don't get that, well, then, you know, you're just going to end up with a dog's breakfast of an education, right? So honestly, they think like, oh, I'm not going to get this one thing that people are talking about. My kid isn't going to have an edge. They don't realize that French immersion isn't the greatest thing ever. It's just a thing, you know, it's just one kind of education and it's good, but so is English. So we really need to like provide information about why English is also good. Not that it's better or worse, but it is also good. And then parents need to think about, I wonder if this is a good fit for my kid, if that's a better fit for my kid, rather than just saying, you better sign up and register, get your kid's name in the hat for French immersion, or else you're gonna lose out.
Jessica, did you wanna jump in there? You got your hand up.
Yes, thanks. So hi everyone, I'm Jessica Chung, also Jessica Gallivan. My account based on work and otherwise is one or the other, but I'm the same person. I just wanted to weigh in from the perspective of a mother and parents of a child who's currently in JK. And I have had emails and phone conversations with just about everyone I possibly could have to make an informed decision. And I know Esme through emails as well. I've talked to Robin. And I could say that my experience has been that there is very limited to no information about the English program, and that simply by balancing the amount of information available to parents being faced with a similar decision could go a long way. Without that balanced information, families are potentially making decisions based on French immersion information only. And I think the concept of an English committee or a parent group that can champion English is fantastic. And I, you know, I am one of six families that I know personally with kids in JK going into the JK English stream. And I would say the six of us, six families, we bonded quite closely. We've been in close communications with each other leading up to making a decision to go English. And now that we've chosen to go English, we see it as this really unique opportunity to stay well connected with each other, you know, have monthly pancake socials, if you even want to call it that. I think there's a real unique opportunity to see the English program as an opportunity to know the families really well, that you know the 15 to 20 kids in this program are the 15 to 20 kids that you'll be going through the whole Howard class and your Howard experience with those 20 families. And it's, I think, quite a special opportunity that cannot be had in other schools. So that's another kind of spin to promoting the English program, is being connected and knowing those families and establishing those childhood friends really early on and throughout you know, your experience at Howard. So all this to say, I think the committee idea, the English committee idea, is great. I would absolutely love to be part of it. I would happy to spread the word with the JK families that I know. I think a lot of this information is still really fresh in our minds, and we would love to help push this messaging or this information through for the next round of JK families who will be entering in September, and then shortly thereafter being asked to make a similar decision and register and apply for the French immersion program. So the earlier we can get to bring information together and present it in a coherent way and make it available to future families, I think that would be a huge help.
Thank you so much, Jessica. And thank you, Jennifer, as well. Your contributions to this conversation are really valuable, and we'd really love to have you guys on in this committee. It was something that we recognized with the execs of council is that every single one of us have children in the French program. None of us represent English. And so even with our conversations about what we want to be doing to promote, we realize that we're not actually personally in the best position to do so. So it's great that you guys are expressing interest in that. Okay, there's a couple people with raised hands. Mandy, I see yours there. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, thanks, Carolyn. Thanks, Jessica. You're the JK parents I've been waiting for years. I really appreciate your efforts and what you've done. For those who don't know me, I had a daughter. We moved to the neighborhood. My daughter started in grade 4 in the English stream, having not gone to French immersion before. And now I have two boys. So she's moved on. She's at Fern now, but I have two boys in French immersion. And in response to the English stream stuff that we've talked about, I joined the French as a Second Language Advisory Committee to the TDSB. And then I chaired it for a couple of years. And Robin Pilkey was the she was my co-chair. So there's a parent co-chair and a trustee co-chair. So, and this was kind of my issue, but it's not anyone else's issue because all the other parents on the committee are French immersion parents and they're all fighting for expanding French immersion because there are schools. There's a school in Scarborough that has 14 feeder schools. It's a French immersion school. Kids from 14 other schools ride a bus. So this is very much a Ward 7. Like this is a Robin Pilkey. It's not her problem. Like she owns the problem. She didn't cause the problem. But like all the schools that have this problem of like a hyper popular French immersion program are all in this area or mostly. And it's where French immersion started. And the reason it's so unequal is no one wanted it. And it took parents to kind of beg for it. And it's parents on the subway lines, right? That's the parents who want our kids to be able to be the prime minister someday. It's how we always joke about it. So I think the committee is an amazing idea. Part of me thinks that it's a committee that will make itself redundant in a few years or make itself unnecessary. Because I think what will happen is as the English stream grows, it'll if every parent who just wants their kid at a great school in English just chooses English because they want English and everyone who wants French immersion chooses French immersion, it might balance out. Because I think one of the problems that's happened is a lot of parents have chosen French immersion for their kids, even though they didn't really want it. I have a son who has some challenges and he hates French. It wasn't my choice. I wanted him in English and my husband won and he's in French immersion now and it's fine and whatever. But I think if all the parents who just want English feel like they can choose it because it's a good program, it'll be great. One other quick point is my daughter was just here. I was like, what would you say? What would you say about the English stream? And she echoes, I think, what I always say, like, the teachers are good. The program is good. There's fewer kids with IEPs. Like, if you really look, if you walk in the classroom, it's all pretty good. The thing that always bothered her is the second class citizen feeling that they had. And, you know, there are girls, not that she can only be friends with girls, but you know how it is. There are girls, there's like 5 girls in her grade that live within a literal stone's throw of our house that she is not friends with because they were in French immersion. That is how, and I know that happens, you know, who you're in class with is a big factor, but that's how big the divide is. And to me, that is kind of crushing, which leads to my next point, which is there was an English committee. I think it was at Swansea. It might've been at Runnymede, but Runnymede hasn't really had the same. I'm pretty sure it's at Swansea. So Robin would probably know because she still lives in Swansea and her kids went to Swansea. And they focused a lot on mixing the kids. So mixing them socially and then mixing them in non-academic subjects. So they mix kids at gym and at lunch and in other ways. And I think some social mixing would be great. Because one of the things I saw is Adele wanted to audition for the school play, but not a single other kid in her grade, I think it was grade 5, English stream class. One kid was a huge theater kid, so he auditioned. But like no one else did. And all the other grade 6s, they auditioned, they were all in the choir, they did something. But it felt like almost like a French immersion project, even though it wasn't meant to be. So I would love to see the committee just focus on mixing the kids in addition to fixing the PR problem. It's the kind of thing where I'm forcing myself not to raise my hand. I'm so swamped. I work in provincial politics and there's an election in a year and I'm already so underwater and life's a little bit intense, but I would certainly help. And I think getting in touch with that committee at Swansea would be a great first step. Their parent council is in a bit of disarray at the moment, but this was a few years back. So if we can figure out who those people were who did that, they made some really good progress from the rumors that I heard. I never met any of them, but it would be an awesome place to start. So maybe those of us who don't want to chair this committee but are willing to help should have a coffee and figure out how we can have a committee that no one is willing to totally own and lead. But I think there's a lot of us who would do a lot. So that's my two cents. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, man. Well,
just as a quick, that's why we're putting it out there now that maybe there is that person out there that does want to do it. So now that we know that, like, that we want to do it, we find that person, hopefully.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Beginning of the year too, the first meeting always has the most people that show up too, right? So you never know, you put it out there for chair of that committee. And
yeah, and that's the thing too, is this is a long game. So this isn't something we're immediately rushing to do and implement right away and have everything organized for right now. This is to set the pace for next year and moving forward for years to come for improvement. So, you know, think about being able to do this when the pandemic isn't going on anymore and all the free time we will have. Jessica, I noticed that you'd raised your hand again, and then Sarah and Jennifer after that. Go right ahead.
Sorry, I meant to lower my hand, but since I got the opportunity, I just wanted to. I didn't actually share why we ended up choosing English, and might be helpful for some of you to know. Howard's just our local school, right? We live minutes away from it. And if we were forced to choose between Fern and Howard, it's Howard. That's our local playground. That's the school we walk by all the time. All our neighbors attend it, whether it's English or Howard. So at the end of the day, we felt that there was a social aspect and a sense of belonging to Howard that was important to our family. You know, the rest is just a bonus. You know, great teachers, great program, the potential is all there. So that's some of the personal reasons why we've chosen it. And I think some of the families who've chosen English feel the same way. So thank you.
Jessica, I love that point. I feel very similarly about Howard being our neighborhood school and wanting to be connected to the community that way. Sarah, you would raise your hand next. You're muted, Sarah.
Yeah, sorry, I had to find a quieter place. I just wanted to touch on a few things that Mandy said, because one of you started off with the big question or the observation that I think is really important is how many English parents do you guys have currently attending parent council regularly? Because that's always been a huge issue. And I think it's really important that, and I think that that's what the type of committee you're talking about, you know, could do, would be to encourage people to come out. Because I don't think it's fair to assume that they're not coming because they're not interested in being a part of the school. So I think that's really key. I also want to throw in here how thrilled I was when I heard that French immersion had been capped at Howard. I think that is, to Mandy's point, one of the big pieces in turning this around eventually. I also wanted to point out to something that isn't really parent council's purview, but, you know, more falls to admin in terms of getting better resourcing in on the French immersion side. Because something else that happens is that really any child who struggles in French, because there's not good phonemic awareness resources available in French, more of those kids end up in the English stream. So you end up, and this is all anecdotal, but I've had two kids go through the English stream and one kid go through the French immersion stream at Howard. So it's anecdotal, but with some insight, is that there is a higher concentration of kids with needs in the English stream. And in my opinion, the resourcing is not there to support them. That's a huge issue. And I think it's something that I really hope the TDSB is addressing, because I know it's not just a Howard issue, it's a TDSB issue, but it's important. And it's important that structured literacy training be put into place for homeroom teachers. It's important that, you know, programs like Empower be brought in to the school. I'd love to see that brought into Howard. So that's my two cents.
Sarah, Jennifer, you were next with hand raising.
Yes, just two things. I know that this is a long game, but I don't think that it's worth waiting around to start, because the people who are interested really should gather and communicate sooner than later, because this is information that's going to be required, like that really was required last year, right? We want to start to garner like support and information for parents so they feel like they actually do have a choice, right? I know lots of families who are leaving Howard next year and they're going to private school, right? They're leaving French immersion. It's not working for them. They're not going to English. They're going to private school. They're going to St. Vincent de Paul, who has Empower, by the way. and they're going like elsewhere. They're not choosing English. And I try to get some of the families to stay, but they just won't. And part of that sort of feeds into what Sarah's mentioning. Like, there aren't really great supports that I've seen for kids who are struggling with reading at Howard. There just simply aren't. Like, we do need better or improved, I would say, literacy supports for the teachers, better screening tools, identify kids who might have a bit more difficulty in French immersion, and help support those kids who are in French immersion or the kids who are in English. That's why my daughter switched out of French immersion. And to be honest with you, after I started speaking to more parents about like reading, started screaming about it in first grade, I discovered that lots of kids at Howard are struggling with reading, and almost every kid I know at Howard has a tutor. So that begs the question, what's going on and what supports are needed? And that's, I think, Sarah is really hitting the nail on the head there. Like, we need some supports, because the kids who are struggling in reading, either what happens is parents end up spending a lot of money on tutoring, or they decide they're going to send their kid to private school because, quite frankly, it ends up costing the same amount a month when you break it down. Or there are families who might not afford that, and then what happens to them? So I think, just generally speaking, like, investigating those supports for the teachers, like that kind of training, is really important. And I think it would just improve both programs. Like, this isn't like an English only or a French only problem. This is a problem. And Tara, like, I'm familiar with that resource you shared that's co-developed by our tutor. And it's great. It was a little shocking that, you know, an English tutor has to sort of spearhead that with a French immersion teacher, and there wasn't much out there. But anyway.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer is a fantastic resource for all kinds of literacy tools and tutoring as well. You've given me lots of information for my own kids recently.
Sarah is the veteran.
I beg your pardon?
Sarah is the veteran.
Okay, great. So I see one more hand raised. Is it Fotini?
That's my daughter's name.
Okay.
It's Fotini. She's in grade 6. Because she's using Zoom, she just switched over the account and I realized it's not me. So I'm Dimitra, and I know some of you from past meetings and dealings with the French committee choices and decisions about extended French that I was very passionate about. The fact that extended French was extended to the current grade 5s and 6 at Howard. When there was an equity issue there, I found that they were left out of any intensive language learning options. So there was the only two grades within the TDSB that had no choice but to move on to French. kids that were earlier were able to choose to go to immersion. The kids previously had already gone through extended French to go into a feeder school into Humberside and merge with the immersion kids. And it was extended for another 2 years. So I just wanted to quickly mention what Mandy said about the divide between the English group and the French kids at Howard. I noticed it straight through my son's 6 years, 8 years at Howard. And then my daughter now is just finishing off. He did go to Swansea into the extended program. And I found it very beneficial that they did merge the kids with the English, with the, so the French extended kids, the immersion kids with the English stream in the non-French classes. So history, geography that is taught in French are with your group. And then when they had science and math, and it was on a rotational basis. So they had different kids grouped together. I can understand how that could be an administrative nightmare to happen at Howard. But from my experience, I found that my son's friends were actually kids that were not in his program that they were together with all morning per se. So maybe if something like that could happen, it would be beneficial just so that at least they get to know each other's names. I find that they don't even know each other. And there is this divide, definitely, or it has been up until now. I don't know what things are going to be like because we're off and graduating this year. yeah, so basically that's just what I wanted to say, that if somehow there could be some kind of joint teaching, I guess, not class, but an opportunity for them to merge and be together at some point. I could definitely see the benefits there.
Thank you, Demetra. Is there anyone else who wants to?
Yep, can I jump in there?
Please ask me, yeah.
There's my, oh, I seem to have lost you. I thought I had my little hand up there. Yes. So I just want to say I'm very, very, very pleased by everything I'm hearing, because you're definitely not alone. And, you know, when I came into the building, one of the things that Robin Pilkey told me about was about this divide and perceptions of the community. So at the time I was with Elizabeth, and we buckled down and we looked for ways that we could definitely bring French kids and English kids together. So for example, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the kids went to camp, not this year. And when they went to camp, overnight camp for 3 days, instead of having the English kids all go and then the French kids all go, we mixed it up. And then we had it so all the grade fives went and all the grade sixes went, because I definitely agree they should know well more than everybody else's name, but they should be, especially if they're, you know, with Mandy's daughter, there's five girls all around the neighborhood. They should have opportunities to get to know each other at school so they can carry out into the community. So I've always felt, you know, like we started things and we had some things going in the school. There's been a lot of disruption, but I always felt like there was the whole community piece that was very hard for us to manage. And if we could have some community ambassadors out there, people, because all the parents say to me, you know, people don't say good things about the English program, but we've had a great experience. And I'm always like, could you just go tell people, you know, when you're having a street party or you're at the barbecue or you're at the school, could you just like tell people? So, but I think people felt like they were maybe the exception, you know, like, well, we had a good experience, but I guess nobody else did. So definitely, I can already think of some people on the English track, parents, who are just as, you know, warm and welcoming and interested in supporting the school and joining committees, and I could reach out to some of them. And then we're here too. So we're definitely here in terms of data I can give you. You know, if we wanted to list opportunities and things that we're doing to bring the kids together and highlight them, then definitely there's information that we can do in partnership together to exactly do that, try to change the mindset out in the community, for sure. So thank you.
That's a really good point. Thanks, Esme. Does anyone else want to add on there? I know it's a heady topic and there's lots to discuss, but it's great that we're getting the ball rolling here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think just conscientious of time, we will move on to our next line item, which I guess Leslie and Sam are going to discuss the direct ask campaign that council will be putting forward really soon.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a very quick mention as we've talked about it a few times now. The campaign, it really is the only fundraising we're gonna do this year for the school. And we've kind of evaporated the money that was there left over from last year. So in order to make sure that we've got the kids and the councils and the teachers set up for next year, we need to do a little bit of fundraising now. So we'll be doing it, we'll be launching it through email and then on social as well, and having it be a fairly short run, with hopes that those who can will make a contribution. And we'll do it through school cash online so you can get a tax receipt. Leslie, anything to add?
No, that covers it.
That's it in a nutshell, right?
Basically, it's a heads up that this is coming your way, and it's to, you know, to make sure, like outdoor learning, we're not going to know what that's going to look like in the fall. So we'd like the funds to be able to support that, because we all want to be outside in September, October. Hopefully we have a lovely extended summer and our kids can be outside, because that's the safest place to be. So we're short, but we don't have cash to do initiatives in the fall. And so we want to be able to fund those, you know, equity programs, right? What we've discussed. So
yeah. Right. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Leslie. Okay. So lastly, Alice couldn't make it tonight, so I will just do a brief explanation of what's going to be in the calendar over the next month. Those of you who have signed in on meetings before will know that we were able to secure a PRO grant, which was a parent reaching out grant, which was given to us by PIAC, Parent Advisory Committee, and the TDSB to support anti-racism initiatives. And so what we decided to do, given the virtual element of school right now, is to have a speaker engagement series. So Alice was able to secure three different speakers for three different dates, and it will all be provided virtually. We are going to make this available to anyone. This won't just be exclusive to our school. Some schools weren't able to qualify for the parent reaching out grant and expressed interest in being able to participate in what we were doing. And so we just decided, you know what, everybody can come. It'll be registration based, and you will be seeing an email from us very shortly about that. And there is also going to be a website by the end of the week, I suppose, Sam, probably, yeah, that will have links to all of the speakers so you can find out more. But just a brief recap, sorry, my cat is meowing at me right now, hi. So first session will be May 28th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And it will be Maria Montejo of Dodem Canonche. She will be speaking on the importance of Indigenous sovereignty solidarity work. Session two will be June 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. It's an organization called LAEN, or L-A-E-N, which stands for Latinx, Afro-Latin America, Abya Yala Education Network. They will be speaking on terms, statistics, Ontario education, and human rights. And then also they will be sharing the session with SURGE. Sorry, Alice gave me the shortened terms for some of these, and I don't know what that stands for. But speaking on white allyship to these issues. And then the third and final session will be on June 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll have Leroy Nibald from Freedom School Toronto speaking on practical ways to support students in and out of the classroom through Black liberatory practices. That one is pretty exciting because Leroy Nibald, I believe, is a really pretty major player in the Black Lives Matter movement in Toronto. So it'll be really exciting to have these speakers come. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought because my cat. Anyway. So we really hope that everybody will be able to participate in this. And again, you'll be seeing more information coming very, very shortly. And that is it. Before we close off the meeting, was there anything else that anyone wanted to add? No? Okay, I'm seeing a lot of shaking heads. All right. So thank you again, everyone. Our next meeting is going to be on Thursday, June 17th at 7 p.m. If anybody has any items that they want to add to the agenda, please reach out to council and we'll just add it then. Oh, we've got one. Hi, Mitra, go ahead.
Sorry, something completely off topic. I was having a chat with Sophie about the grade six grads. I know that this is not part of it, but I heard something that the government is thinking of allowing outdoor grad ceremonies or celebrations. And I was just wondering if you heard anything or if this is a possibility instead of doing it virtually. I know it's probably very, very last minute, but literally I just read it on a blog or something, I think a couple of days ago.
So when we were in this situation last year, there was really no direction and everybody was sort of trying to come up with their own way of doing it.
Yeah.
This year, they've really standardized it and they've had different workshops for us to go to make sure we're doing, you know, confidentiality correctly. So they've definitely said that no matter what comes up or what changes we make, all schools have to do it virtually. Okay. So they have said, yeah, and they made that decision, I believe, in March, and they just said to us very, you know, they just want consistency across the board this year, so it's all virtual. So okay. Having, you said that, though, one of the things I heard today, which has nothing to do with us necessarily, but you know how Alberta was farther, you know, was in a more precarious situation than we were? And their students have not been at home as long as we have, but they're sending all their students back to school in the building as of Tuesday. So I kind of feel like, you know, when I'm on my calls with Toronto Public Health, the Dr. Vanita Dubé, the associate medical officer, she's very positive. And I remember saying at the last meeting that she was like, you know, we haven't written off the school year yet. And then when I heard today that Alberta was taking the opportunity to say, you know what, even if it's just 4 weeks, we're going to go back into the building. Maybe I still think our graduation is going to be virtual, but I kind of felt a little bit of hope today because I thought, well, if Ontario sees that, maybe like it's worth going back. I would love to go back. So, you know, I feel like that's not going to change. Graduation is going to be virtual, but I still feel like we don't know what the next few weeks are going to look like.
I think I'm just being a little selfish because I cried for 8 years with my sons every year, clap out. I cried from kindergarten with all of them. And I'm like, okay, it's my turn to cry.
I know. Yeah. And we really wanted that experience for you too. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone again for joining tonight. We'll see everybody on June 17th at 7 p.m. Leslie, are you waving or do you have, sorry, I see you there. Oh, you're waving. Okay.
Bye. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you again. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye.